And now, insurance-minded speeches from GEICO.
Hardship. My grandmother would go through it every month to pay her insurance bill. First, she would handwrite a paper check, in cursive. Then, using her own tongue, she would wet a stamp for an envelope. Today, however, we need not weary our hands and tongues. Today, we can pay our GEICO bill with the GEICO app. Away with hardship, in with bill pay on the GEICO app. Thank you.
Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, this tag team match is scheduled for one fall with a one-hour time limit. No disqualification, no holds barred. Introducing first, from San Francisco, California, Uber CEO Travis Allen. His partner from New York City, now residing in Washington, D.C., the President of the United States, Donald Trump.
Thank you.
Their opponents, champions of the professional taxi drivers worldwide. First from St. Paul, Minnesota, John Gavin. His partner from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, is Van Der. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
Let the bodies hit the floor, let the bodies hit the floor, let the bodies hit the floor, let the bodies hit the...
Well, there's your morning espresso there, folks. A little headbanging for your entertainment. Good morning. You're listening to the Taxi Stand Hour on blogtalkradio.com. I'm John Shannon, waiting there in the... I see him yawning all the way from Florida, folks. The illustrious Ed Van Ness. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are we all doing today? It's a lovely day. It's a wonderful day to be alive.
That's just because you're in Florida.
You don't see all the sarcasm dripping off of that?
I saw you yawning. I didn't see the sarcasm, I guess.
No, you know, I've cleverly concealed it. Good morning, all. We had the headbanging music again. I wasn't expecting that for the second week in a row.
Well, next week I'm going to play a piece from Beethoven just to...
Oh, I am breathless with anticipation. Next week is Memorial Day weekend.
Yes, it is.
For those of you scoring at home, or even if you're alone...
Oh, my God. You should have had the rim shot for that, man. Come on.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of things I should... I'm sitting
there's
in a position where I... That's my rim shot. That's my medicine alarm going off, kids.
Take
that's,
your medication.
I'm well overdue. Anyway, how are you today, sir?
Oh,
how was your week?
I had a pretty good week, actually. You know, I just doing the same old and what have you, and... Wasn't a bad week in the taxi world up here.
Excellent.
I got to flip off an Uber driver along the way, so you know life is
good.
There you
go. Life is good. I get to do that every day.
I think
when
it should
be. I wake
up
and I look in the mirror.
I just think that should be a requirement for us in the taxi industry. I think that you just should just roll up on one and flip them off, and you know, and then you could basically say, have you, it's 11 o'clock, have you flipped off an Uber driver yet?
By the way, do you know where that originated from, that basic statement?
I do know. I remember.
Hold on a second. Going. What's the original? Okay. The original one is it's 10 o'clock. Do you know where your children are?
Your children are. Yes, I remember that.
But do you know where that originated?
Tell me.
WNEW TV Channel 5 in New York back in the 70s.
Do you think, you think that was that in the 70s? Cause
I know for a fact. I know for a fact.
I'm going to have to take your word because I don't have any evidence to the contrary, if you will.
They started it there, and it quickly spread around the country. Many other stations did it, but it originated.
I suppose it was it had to have been the early 70s, though, because I do remember hearing it in childhood. Well, I was born in 63, so.
Which would make you be a child in the 70s.
Well.
How am I doing so far?
Not bad. Not bad at all.
Please don't make me have to sit here and really prove how right I am. It's embarrassing to both of us.
Yes, indeed.
I told you off air. I've got very few rants today. I only have energy enough for certain ones. So.
Oh. Well, believe it or not, we got a lot to talk about today. Both of our favorite targets, both Donald Trump and Uber, you know, the gifts that just keep on giving. Let's start with our favorite imposter in chief here. So he's off in Saudi. He's still in Saudi Arabia, is he not, if I'm not mistaken?
Yes. Yes.
He landed there yesterday. You were talking about, I didn't see it, but you were talking about this jumpsuit that Melania was wearing where she could have easily passed for an MMA champion.
She stepped off the plane. They stepped off Air Force One together, and she was in this black jumpsuit with this huge gold belt with a belt buckle, I kid you not, at least 1 foot in wide or high.
At least she might have been going for a rodeo championship, too. Belt buckles are pretty big.
That could very well be, but the very first thing I thought of was she's the champion. She won the belt. Whatever it is, she won the belt. So, keeping in mind now, Melania is just a poor girl from Slovenia. She had very, very modest dreams. She came here wanting to be a supermodel, marry a rich American. She'd let this guy jump on her once every couple of weeks. You have to give her, I give her this much little leeway. There was no possible way she ever expected to be First Lady of the United States. This is not something she.
It just dawned on me what she got that belt for, by the way.
Oh, well, do tell.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you're having sex with Donald Trump, it's kind of the equivalency of hog wrestling. So she probably.
She's the winner.
She's the champion. Absolutely.
But this was the thought I had this week. She did never planned. First Lady was so far from anything she considered because this knucklehead was not involved in politics. So I give her just an itty bitty little hall pass on that one. And that we know this was not her thing because, anyway, I digress. That was a mini rant.
You know, it's funny because unless I've missed something here, her quote unquote politics are far more mainstream than Trump. If you think about it, she probably, for whatever it's worth, has probably kept him from going completely off the deep end. Politically, at least, I think so. I think that she might be a little bit of a voice of common sense. What little that is possible in that family, but you know. She might be the balance. It's not going to be enough.
Quite frankly,
not going to be enough.
No. Quite frankly, I don't know where she, you know, I have no clue on what her politics are or where she stands on things. And I'm not really interested, to be quite honest. But if she's holding that circus together, then God bless her. That's all I can say.
Well,
because she's not doing a very good job of it.
that circus train is probably going to come to a halt.
Well, Ringling Brothers did.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't so sure about that, but you know, these new revelations and this whole thing with James Comey now, he's going to sing like a fucking bird. So, I'm beginning to wonder. I'm doing an over under of a year for him to sort of survive this and still be in office. And
you know where I stand on that.
Yeah. You set a date, if I'm not mistaken.
I said neither him nor Travis will see the calendar turn to 2018.
That's right. And the only reason I disagree with you on that is because we still have the midterm elections, and I think it's going to take the Democrats getting or gaining some seats, especially in the House, to be able to pull that off. Because I think that while Trump is an embarrassment not only to the country but also to the Republican Party, I don't think there are as many Republicans that want to eat their own out there as we may think. So I still think it's going to take that, but I think that if there's enough of a turnover in Congress, I think then it's a no-brainer. So I think it'll be sometime in soon after the Congress is sworn in 2018. I'm thinking probably more like mid-year or something like that.
That is a very, very fair point. But I will point out to this week. Now, the snowball is continually rolling downhill, picking up speed. Just a few days ago, and snow. Just a few days ago, after all this really broke, there were no Republican would show up on any of the talk shows. But more glaring than that was that Fox News could not book a Republican.
Wow.
They were not safe. They were not confident enough to go on to Fox. And that was before they found out about Roger Ailes.
I was just going to say, are you shedding a tear or two about the passing of Roger Ailes?
Well, apparently he was he was a mover and a shaker in his business. He also had clearly power issues where I saw a line on Twitter. I don't know if you saw this. Somebody put it out there. It was creepy but funny. It said skirts will be flying at half mast at Fox in memory of Roger Ailes.
Absolutely. Oh,
so,
I love Twitter because there's always somebody there that's got some sharp comedic edge. I love it.
Like apparently the man tripped, fell, hit his head, and that's what caused his ultimate demise. Personally, I would have liked to have seen him live. He was wealthy and he had power for a good chunk of his life, so he was quite content. He was on the tail end of everything anyway.
Mm-hmm.
He was living his life. He is not sweating anything out. No matter what had to be paid out, it wasn't coming out of his pocket. So
yeah.
He was quite content where he was. He was going to live his life fat and happy in Palm Beach. This unfortunately happened to him. I don't wish this on anybody. But what I know of the man, absolute power corrupts absolutely.
A lot of
people get it in their head. I can do what I want. And, you know, we have a president doing that right now. I've said before, he comes from a world where his word was final. His word was law. He didn't have to answer to anybody. Now he has to answer to people. And he doesn't like it. And now the latest thing that comes out, he apparently said to the Russians, oh, Comey's a nut job. He's crazy. Well, hello, kettle. May I introduce you to the pot?
Exactly.
You know, oh my goodness. I mean,
so do you
what
think?
It's one of, go ahead.
Now, do you think that, and I do believe in his demise. He's been, whether it's 1 year or 2.5 years. Do you think that he will resign, or do you think he'll be forced out?
His ego won't permit him to resign. I think that would be a tremendous, somebody would have to hold something tremendous over his head to get that man to resign. He has no humility.
No, he
remember,
really does.
No politician has ever been treated worse than he has been. You know,
I think that Abraham Lincoln and John Kennedy would have something
Nelson
to say
Mandela.
About that. Nelson Mandela, and then even
he only spent
American,
27. Yeah, he only spent 27
American,
years in jail.
Yeah, or even American candidates such, you know, Robert Kennedy.
Right.
Even if you want to go this far, George Wallace, even.
Yes, there's a list. Most definitely, there's a list. And
nobody has shot at him yet.
Yet. But I don't think him resigning is, again, I don't know that there's anything bad enough that will get him to resign. Now, I think it's going to be, it's going to happen quickly. Quicker than it's ever happened. Once, right now, you've got a lot of Republicans, while they're not speaking out against him, they're in hiding. They're just kind of standing with their backs up against the wall, just holding their breath and hoping that this mad rush passes right by them. They're just kind of trying to stay, blend into the curtains, if you will. And eventually, there's going to be a crossroads, and they're going to have to make the decision, because this just is not going to work. This entire country is consumed with the world's worst or best liar, a man that has no compunction at all about throwing people under the bus, just flat out lying, making stuff up out of whole cloth as he sits there. And remember, you have to bear in mind, we're only consumed right now with what happened in the past couple of days. You have to put this all together. You have to go back. Forget even going back to the campaign. Let's just go back to Inauguration Day. Lo and behold, he's still harping on crowd size. There's something wrong with this man, to be sure. To be sure.
Absolutely. Maybe in his days when he was working with WWE, somewhere in the back, somebody hit him with a chair over the head.
Not hard enough.
No, not hard enough. Exactly. Oh, speaking of wrestlers who want to get in the game, have you heard that The Rock is talking about a run for the White House?
I just heard last night somebody, I think it was my last ride, mentioned it to me. We're at, and I saw somebody did a little bit on it last night. Not anything really long. Look, he's a very charismatic man, and he does much better making movies right now.
No, he was a great entertainer in wrestling too. Nobody could light up a crowd more than this guy. But
right, he's very charismatic.
We have to remember.
We
have to remember, and we have to be careful with our presidential politics here. And Minnesota, we're guilty of this stuff too. I mean, we here in Minnesota elected a wrestler for governor at one point in time. So
you did,
yes, Jesse Ventura.
Now, how did he do?
You know, I unfortunately was living in Vegas at the time when he was governor, but he did get a few things accomplished here. He had, he maintained a balanced budget. He got the light rail to go through here in Minneapolis. So, I mean, there were, he did accomplish a few things, but unfortunately, I think his family, his children actually tripped him up more than he tripped himself up. Jesse wasn't quite the same nut job that he comes off as being now. He was actually pretty stable here in Minnesota. Now, my wife in the background saying he's always been a nut job. You know, and there's a guy that probably took way too many chair shots.
Well, let's keep in mind that the whole wrestling persona is just that, a persona. You know,
he took it with him in life. I mean, he, of course, you remember when he was in the Terminator movie, I ain't got time to bleed. Or no, not Terminator,
you know,
Predator.
I've never seen that movie.
I saw it. Just, you know, well, you know, that's not my favorite genre movie. Yeah, exactly. That's not my favorite genre movie, but, you know, I wanted to see if Ventura could act. And, you know, hey, it is what he did what he was expected to do.
213-943-3587. 213-943-3587. Join us in the conversation.
Live. Now, if you try to do it while you're listening to the archive, well, then you're probably a Trump.
We may not answer. Yeah, we may not answer.
We may not answer, exactly. If we do,
we are not. Yeah, we are recorded. Is this a live broadcast? Well, what do you think?
Exactly. So,
I didn't want to go on a rant about off air. I don't even remember now.
Neither do I.
I told you I didn't want to.
Oh, but I will bring it up. So then you can. I'm sure it was. It's on my slate here to bring up. I'm sure. But one more Trump thing here, somewhat related.
Okay.
Actually, two things. Now that I think about it. I put up a story earlier this week that, and I didn't know that there was a restriction against this, but the Trump administration is going to start letting federal workers turn in receipts from Uber and Lyft. Now, I'm not 100% sure if they were, I'm not 100% sure if they were into doing this before, and the Trump administration just made it, you know, just put his golden or orange seal on it, or if this was just something new. I know for a fact there's a company here, well, U.S. Bank Company, but they're based here in Minnesota. U.S. Bank won't accept Uber receipts for compensation. They don't want their employees using Uber and Lyft. They don't trust them. So, you know, even though we're not big fans of U.S. Bank here, you know, good for them. But yeah, now Trump has done a favor for Uber and Lyft. So the corporatist mentality continues.
Along those lines, I had a passenger last night who asked me what I thought about Blue Cross Blue Shield using Uber and or Lyft to transport patients between appointments. And now I told him I hadn't heard about it, but on the face of it, I don't understand how that could happen, because you're talking about vehicles that don't have insurance. You know, this is another case of somebody not doing their basic vetting work. While taxi drivers would have to go through CPR classes, this, that, and the other thing kind of vetting. Once again, Uber and Lyft are here. You've got cheap rates. Here you go. And I don't know where that's happening, or he was from Arizona. So I guess that's happening out there. I don't know for sure.
I'd like to look into that a little bit further. That's a big store. That's actually bigger than big, because we do, our company does a huge amount of business in these medical rides. I'd have to say it's probably about 75% of my business. And
that's what's keeping you in business right now, my friend.
Oh, absolutely. And I tell you, and we do okay otherwise, but it's day work. It's consistent. It is, you know, there's no tips
sure.
involved there, you know, and actually the
sure.
rates are lower than standard meter rates, but you know what? It's money. It pays the bills, and that's fine. And if I can squeeze in a couple rides to the airport here and there, or somebody going down to a casino or something like that, hey,
sure.
all the more. But that is definitely the bread and butter. But to go to do that, let's see, fingerprinting, background checks,
mm-hmm.
subjecting to taking a UA, and then also subjecting myself to randoms if need be.
Right.
The aforementioned classes in first aid, basic first aid, and
right.
also customer sensitivity.
Right.
So, yeah, there is just a ton of stuff out there that you have to. Plus, the car has to undergo an
exactly.
inspection as well. And
exactly.
You have to carry around what we call an STS sticker on your car to do it. So. And that's good.
What is an S? What? Oh, is that
special,
just a
special
decal?
Transportation service? Yeah,
it's
a decal. Yeah. So yeah, I don't think.
But John, Uber's cheaper.
Oh, I know. I don't think the state's going to let them go that far up here because it was a state requirement that made this. It wasn't because we have Blue Cross up here too, as one of our medical or one of the insurance companies that we contract with. It won't happen up here. The state, I'm pretty sure the state won't let it happen up here. But then again, I've been wrong before.
Yes. Okay. Now I remember what it was I wanted to rant about.
Can I give you one more Trump thing real quick?
And then we'll... Go ahead.
My rant is
leaking. I'm running out of rant.
Well, get a paper towel.
Want to know the situation.
Yeah, exactly.
Be glad we're on radio.
Yeah. Oh my God. Oh, I didn't want to see that picture.
Sorry. Some things are inevitable.
Exactly. So I saw this on the news here locally again. About a 15-year-old girl who, before Trump was elected, made a statement just passing with another friend. Now, this is before the election, and she said that she wanted to chop Donald Trump's head off. This was before he was president. This was before he was president. And that wound up in that school's yearbook. That statement wound up in the school's yearbook. And guess who's looking into it now?
Secret Service.
You got it.
Well, that's unfortunate.
It's unfortunate. And I think, I don't care who the president is. You don't make those kind of threats. That being said, at the time, this was not a threat. This was a statement made before Donald Trump was president. Get a life, Secret Service. I'm sorry, back off. This was an innocent statement by a 15-year-old girl before Donald Trump was president. You know, that would be like saying, you know, that now he's going to, just because he said he liked grabbing pussy back when he was still just Donald Trump, that doesn't mean he's going to continue to try to grab. Well, maybe it will.
Well, that's a poor analogy. That's a very poor analogy. But your basic point is dead on. I mean, here's a 15-year-old girl who's is clearly no neither an imminent nor immediate threat to the now president of the United States, a statement that was made before he was president that just happened to get printed in a yearbook. My goodness, the things I have said that I would like to do to that man, you know, whether it's public or not, it's called free speech. As long as she does not act on that, then there's, you know, while it may not be the really what you want to hear a 15-year-old say, you she's entitled to say it. That's what this country is all about. Gosh darn it!
So where do you draw the line? I mean, how many times have I said or not said, but you know, how many times have I said that I, you know, like to put a foot in Donald Trump's ass? Well, that doesn't mean I'm going to fly out to Washington specifically for the honor of kicking him in the ass. It's not, you know, it's not feasible. It's not possible. And it's just me letting off a little steam. So, yeah, get a life.
One of the things the Secret Service does, yeah, the FBI and all that, is to assess real threats. I understand they have to go through a lot of chafe and a lot of garbage. But there are real, actual threats. Okay, let's look into this threat. Oh, it's from a 15-year-old girl. It's in a yearbook. It was said over a year ago. I think we're good on this one, kids. Moving on.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Now remind me. Off air, we were talking about something, and you were ready to jump on. You were ready to jump on the rant train here, and you had to throttle that, and I've made you throttle it since. So. Remind me, what were we talking about?
I have no earthly idea.
Yeah, right.
the YouTuber with the Uber car.
The YouTuber with the Uber car. That. Yeah, excuse me. Duh. Don't you love this? Again. I promised myself I was actually going to start taking notes here and actually having notes on in front of me. Well, that didn't happen, as you can tell.
Where's the fun in that?
So do you want me to set it up or do you want to?
Absolutely. You set it up. You started. I found it through you. So.
Okay, so here's the pitch. Earlier this week, I saw a tweet that got regurgitated a couple of times. And anyways, this individual... Supposedly he's some semi-famous blogger or something to that effect, a YouTube star or whatever. So what we wind up seeing on the video is a group of five people, and they've either just gotten out of this Uber car, which is a sedan. In other words, there were five people here, and they either just got done riding or they were trying to get in. I'm not 100% sure on that. But either way, there were five people, and they ordered an Uber XL, which is only supposed to be for 1 to 4 people. And they were going to try to jam five I don't know if they were all adults or not, but they were trying to jam five people in this car. And, of course, it didn't end well. The Uber driver got pissed. I guess supposedly one of the people slammed his door or something like that. And what was so entertaining was all of them had their phones out to watch this Uber driver's rant. You know, he's swearing. He's, you know, this and that, this and that. And, of course, oh, he's crazy. He's crazy. Well, if he's driving Uber, he is anyway. That goes without saying. But, so anyways, yeah, this is one that I have to flip a coin in my mind whose side I'm on. I don't think that the driver handled it the way he should have, to be honest with you. I mean, if you're going to be hauling people for a living, you do need to sometimes learn that discretion is the better part of valor. But, you know, there again, as you and I have said many, many times, these people that ride in Uber, you know, they're looking. What is it? They say they want a limousine at for bus fare. And,
limo service at bus fares.
Yeah. So.
Me now.
You now. Me now. Yes.
Me now. Ahead. Okay. I responded to the video, and my first response was, wonder how long the quote, I can only take four, unquote, end quote, but they're only kids, unquote, chat went on. Been there, done that, hashtag just saying. The gentleman in question then retweeted back to me. He said it was just him, his wife, and the two kids. Pretty sure that's four. To which I replied that that statement, pretty sure that's four, was unnecessary. Why was now his father or her father, the man was, this gentleman was halfway in, halfway out of the car, not allowing the Uber driver to leave. And I asked him that, why was the man in the car? Intoxicated, in quotes, is a lazy accusation. Nothing happens in a vacuum. So here's what I'm guessing what happened. Now, there were more than five people there. There was the gentleman in question, his wife, their two kids, and I think, let's just say it was her parents, okay? They had rented a van, which you can see in the video. Grandpa locked the keys in the van, so they're going to Uber over to Disney. They were staying at an Airbnb, you know. So they call for the Uber. Now, you don't see the rest of the video, what happened. First off, and the last tweet I sent to them, I said, if he was drunk and obnoxious, why did you get in the car to begin with? Okay. Why was this older man in the car? It's telling me there were at least five. You were probably, it was one, it was clearly, but they're only kids. It's only two small kids. We can fit four adults and two kids in there. And I'm sure this went round and round. No, sir, I cannot take six people. This is where I'm sure the driver finally got fed up after, because you can clearly see the older gentleman there not allowing this car to leave. This man just wanted to go about his business. And they were not going to allow that because they were going to have it their way. We're not going to pay for an XL. We're going to do it in your car. And now, look, I don't know how the man, again, nothing happens in a vacuum. Something led up to that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it was entirely the driver's fault. I'm not here to defend Uber or their drivers, but I've been in that situation. Okay, it's not going to happen. I've already said no. Just let me go about my business. Well, you're an asshole. You're this, you're that, the other thing. This is the oldest ploy in the book. He was intoxicated. How do you know that? What makes you say he was intoxicated? This is the new thing that people throw out. Oh, he was high. No, you didn't get your way. This is what happens. And in this particular case, I am confident that the Uber driver did nothing wrong other than to show up and have a bunch of entitled fucking nitwits who don't want to pay the proper price for the illegal ride they were taking to begin with. Thank you.
Oh, no, I do tend to agree with you here. I mean, you find yourself actually taking the side of the Uber driver, although on the other side of that coin, you think it couldn't have happened to a worse person. But
No. Look, you have to put let's just pretend it was a taxi. Okay? It's the same scenario. Put a top sign on that, put a pipe down the side. It's the same exact scenario. I can only take four. If a guy is being a professional and doing his job properly and safely, then he can only take four passengers in that car. But they're only kids. Fine. As I always like to say, we'll put them in the trunk then if they're only kids and not people.
Well,
that's the solution to that problem. But otherwise, get off your entitled ass. And too bad that grandpa lost the keys to the van or, you know, whatever. You know, but don't take it out on this guy. He's intoxicated. That is lazy accusation because they did not get their way. They were not able to bully this man into doing their bidding. They think that, and believe me, I've run into it in the past 3-4 months a lot. You think for 85 effing cents a mile, I'm going to bend over and take it high and hard for you? Absolutely. Get in the car. We'll have a nice chat. If that's what you want, I'll get you A to B safely. But I'm not breaking any rules. I'm not carting minors. I am not carting more than you're paying for. You want six people in the van? You're going to pay for six people in the van. Okay? I've heard this too many times over the years, including in the cab. Well, you know, you don't have to follow all the rules. No, actually, I do have to follow all the rules. Because when something goes, when this shit goes sideways, you're going to be citing every one of my rules that I'm supposed to follow. You know.
Well, don't you? You have seatbelt laws there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, yeah, you have seatbelt laws, and it doesn't matter if you're an Uber or a taxi or just taking the family for a Sunday drive. There are seatbelt laws. Everybody has to be buckled up. And you don't have seatbelts available for all the passengers. Guess who's responsible for that?
Absolutely. The driver. The driver. And it's not the owner of the vehicle. It is the driver of the vehicle. You know, I've made that point as well. You know, I've only got X amount of seatbelts. Now, I will say this as far as seatbelts go. Grown up adult people, you're sitting in the back, it's up to you. I prefer you buckle up, but hey, you're a grown up. Mm-hmm. You're sitting up front, you buckle up regardless because Ed don't want to hear that bell.
Maybe you're right.
And, you know. And actually, in the past couple of years, I've only had one person refuse. And I said, okay, then we can't go. But anybody under 18 is buckling up in my vehicle, no matter where they're sitting. You know, I take it very seriously. And if you don't care enough about your kids, believe me, John, I'm learning, especially with Uber and Lyft, particularly with Uber, people will let their kids do anything. I had a call late last night, not late, about 9 o'clock. I was over on this beachside community, and they have a little entertainment area. There's bars and restaurants. There's a beach there. I get a call on the Uber, and I pull up, and there's four, like, 15, 16-year-old girls. They had clearly been on the beach all day because they're in T-shirts and bikinis. And I pulled up. I said, okay, who's Brooke? Oh, I'm Brooke. I said, okay, which one of you is over 18? Is Brooke over? Brooke, are you 18? No, none of us are. I can't take you. You know. Now, don't you think this is like a buffet for certain people on this planet? Four 15-year-old girls?
Yeah, well.
I'm not saying that they're not good kids who can't handle themselves. That's never been my point. The point is they're still under 18. And people expect transportation providers to break the rules on a whim. And that's getting back to the original topic. That's what I feel this knucklehead with his video channel. I looked at some of his videos. Weak. Sad. Yeah. But that's what this is about. You could see if you watch the 15 seconds that they put onto Twitter, it's all drama. It's all, oh, my goodness, he must be drunk. Well, he must be this. He must be that.
Get back to the car. Get back to the house. Get back to the house.
Yeah, get back to the – the man was not going to get out and open fire. He wanted to leave. The old man would not let him leave.
No, wait a minute. Hold on now. If I'm not mistaken, that driver might have been Muslim, so you never know. He might have come out with an AK-47.
He was black. I believe he was black.
Well, he still could have come out with an Uzi.
Well, he could have come out with his black.
Yeah, there you go, too. So, but you know what else?
DWB. He was
exactly.
DWB, driving while black.
Exactly. But you know what? You mentioned these teenagers that were trying to get the ride. You know what? They would have been a nice little buffet for. They would have been a nice little buffet for that fake Uber driver, the one that is operating on somebody else's account, like I'm still dealing with up here in.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And do you know, now I have sent direct messages to Uber support. I have tweeted them. I have tagged them. I have done everything. I have explained it, you know, as much as I possibly can, both in the open and in DMs to them. Still have gotten no response on that. They don't care.
What did I tell you? What did I tell you the other day?
You told me they don't care. They look for certain keywords in your tweets and mm-hmm. direct messages and stuff like that.
And send a proper canned response.
Yeah, but you would think that if I use the word unlicensed driver, that might raise a. So if this
John,
is happening,
I know for a fact that they're hiring dead people.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't doubt it for a minute. If it's happening, if it's happening here in Little Minnesota, you know, it's got to be. It has to be a real mainstream problem here, and both Uber and Lyft totally have their head in the sand about it. Oh, we're doing this. We're doing this. We're making you take a picture of yourself while you're driving or whatever. You know, these people fooled these people I know. Yeah, fooled that too. You know, this is something that is completely run amok. They don't have the proper background checks as it is for the legal drivers. Now you've got they have no way of knowing if there is somebody fake driving that car. They don't know if that person mm-hmm. doesn't have a license. They also don't know, quite frankly, what kind of a criminal history this person is, because remember, there's no background check on this individual. You know?
No.
No.
No, the hell you say.
Well, exactly.
You mean to tell me, wait a second, hold the phone here, young man. Are you saying in public, for God and all to hear, that an Uber background check is not thorough? Is that what you're saying, sir?
I think I was implying that.
I am shocked. No. Nay, I am shocked and appalled.
Shut my mouth.
Poppycock. Balderdash.
And
the nerve.
for you people that are out there that are still riding with Uber, this situation is only going to get worse, because quite frankly, when this all first started, it was a nice chummy little idea. You catch a ride with somebody who's going back and forth to work, and the odds of it being who the driver really, you know, who they really said they were, it was a pretty good chance. But now all of a sudden, people who are looking to make a profit off of this, they're doing it any way they can. They have one account and they've got two or three people driving on that account. But you know what's really causing this, if you think about it? These original people that first started driving for Uber back when they first started, now they're starting to drop like flies. I think they have less than like a 5% retention rate after a year.
That number was blown out of proportion. That number was blown out of proportion.
Okay,
it just can't be realistic. I read an article debunking it, and the actual number is pretty high. It's about 70% of turnover annually. Most people haven't made it past the first year. No question. But that 4% number, that's the number everybody was, oh my God, it's 96% turnover. Even they would have had trouble surviving with that. Mm-hmm. You go through the entire population very quickly. But keep in mind, a lot of that turnover is people that have been booted off the system who have found a way back in, like dead people.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right. But the thing
is, right. You know I'm right all along.
Oh, well, you know, I just guess I just have to assume it these days. But the thing is, though, is the good people are starting to realize that, my God, this is a lot of wear and tear on a car.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the amount of miles that you, first off, you put more miles on your car with Uber than any cab would have put on. I mean, these people I know are putting on an average of about 250 to 300 miles a day. You know, you're going to find that they're going to find out in a hurry. You start putting that kind of mileage on a car, especially city miles, you are going to find that car, you know, you're going to need tires. Hell, I average putting on two sets of tires a year on my cab.
That's what I tell people.
Transmissions.
When I have this conversation.
Yeah. They are not making enough money to be able to justify being able to do this job. Let me ask you something.
Right.
Back here.
Go ahead.
Let me ask you something. Now, you've owned cabs for many, 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 many years.
About 85 vehicles.
How much money, when your drivers paid their lease, how much money did you set aside, put in the coffee can, just to handle maintenance issues on those cars?
$100 per week per vehicle.
Yep, that's exactly what I've had figured as well. And you need to do it.
Now,
you can't fluff on that.
Yeah.
You can't go off and take a vacation on that money.
Nope. Now, I tell people now, because not everybody does it full time, but I mentioned that the average annual maintenance cost for a for-hire vehicle is between $3,000 and $5,000, and that does not count a transmission, an engine, or any body damage.
Hey, you better pray to
that
God you don't have any problems with that.
Or you better hope somebody's ready to pay for it.
Yeah, exactly.
But you've got, again, two sets of tires. You're going to go through a battery. Your AC is going to take a dump at some point. You will overheat that car. It is going to overheat. You're going to go through a couple sets of brakes, you know, calipers, rotors, you name it, front end parts. It's all going to happen. It's going to happen on a regular basis. You know, I've been fortunate. The vehicle I'm driving now, we had a bunch of work done while it was still a cab. I know stuff is coming. I'm hoping to get through the summer before anything. You see, what you have to keep in mind is that I was used to a major repair every week because I had 12 vehicles. So every week, at least one vehicle had something major. You know,
uh-huh.
It may not need anything again for 4 months, but every week for me was something different. You know, it was front end work. It was this, that, the other thing. So for me right now, it's like I'm like living a dream because all I've had to do is a couple of oil changes and one set of brakes since January, which is, you know, piece of cake. But I have an ongoing issue with this vehicle, which my mechanic and I are watching. And it's going to overheat at some point. We know that. We're just trying to catch it as you know, do what we can at the moment but that's when most people don't realize what they're going to spend. The other thing that, and I explain this, that I have this conversation almost every day now, I explain to passengers that are interested in knowing is the value of the car drops. Yes, I'm trying to. The depreciation. Now, before you go anywhere, as I tell everybody, now my van is a 2012 Chrysler Town & Country, leather interior, very nice vehicle. And I'll say, well, as of yesterday, 221,000 miles on it. I bought it, put it on the road as a cab at 50,000 miles. So it's got 170,000 plus transportation miles.
Mm-hmm.
But what I don't have is any illusion that in a year and a half or so, when I'm ready to replace it, that it's going to have any real resale value. Oh, I may get $500-$600 for it. The tires will be worth more because people will look at 300,000-400,000 miles, and that's that. They don't want to know anything else. So now imagine bringing in a two-year-old car with 150,000 miles to the dealership and saying, I'd like to trade up. They're going to laugh you right off the lot.
Yeah, we'll give you $5.
Yeah, here's a Uber fare home.
Yeah, exactly. excuse me. Well, let me run through one more thing that I thought was kind of interesting here. And it's happening in our nation's capital. Actually, something good is happening in our nation's capital.
I find that so hard to believe.
Yeah, me too, but it is. Now, Washington, D.C. is still, you know, Uber does have a foothold there, but Washington, D.C. still has a pretty dynamic taxi industry. I know that my wife and I were out there about 2.5 years ago. There are people in taxis, flagging down taxis out there left and right. It might be second only to New York City as far as that dynamic, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're going a completely automated route here. They're being mandated by the regulatory body there that there's no such thing as a mechanical meter. Everybody's going to
right.
a GPS satellite based meter. They're
yes.
going to be partnering with Square in order to process credit cards, which is really nice because while your average cab company charges anywhere between 5 and 7, even up to 10% on the credit card processing, Square is only charging 2.5% to process
credit cards.
Square is a great product, great service.
The company that I drove for has for, well, they've been talking about it for well over a year. Well, the county just is in the process of approving, allowing what's called, this is known as a soft meter.
Yes.
A GPS-based meter that will also allow the company to adjust rates when necessary.
Exactly.
Without going through the whole. So, yes, I have an app that is a taxi meter and it's based on GPS. And I use this. I've had it for quite a while because we used to have meter problems. You can set it up. There's presets. You can customize it. I have mine set at 250 a mile because every now and again I do pick up somebody. Oh, can you take me here? Sure. And I use that to determine the rate. Works like a champ. It is, you know, it's a beautiful little
meter?
System. Actually, it is. That is
yeah,
the one.
Yeah, I have that. I have that as well.
The $20. It cost $20 to activate it, and I was happy to do it.
Yeah, very, very good. We were using that when we first started going or employing the idea of using a soft meter before our meter became integrated into the actual MT data system.
Right.
I was using that same thing. It's very accurate.
Yes.
The worst thing that happens if you go into a tunnel or something that where there's no GPS signal, it just automatically interprets that as waiting time. You really don't lose anything on the deal whatsoever. So,
well, see, now in my case, the meter I have set up, I have no waiting time on it. I have just distance.
Really? Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
But
I customized it to... Well, we only have one in the state, so.
Yeah, there you go. So, yeah, you don't dare have tunnels in that state.
Well, it's kind of hard when you're about 4.5 inches above sea level.
Exactly. Well,
you know,
we got just a little bit of time left here. Another Peabody.
Very little.
Another Peabody Award worthy show getting ready to go bye-bye for the morning. Listen, if you're listening, do me a favor here, folks. If you're listening to this either live or on the archive, feel free. Tell your friends about this because we really, you know, we have a good audience right now, but I really feel that we need to start something here. And so feel free, folks. We want to have you on board here, and let's get something big going out of this. We can have more fun that way. Well,
what he said.
Yeah. Well, I think it's time to say goodnight, Ed.
Good night, Ed.
Have a great one. You've been listening to Taxi Stand Hour on blogtalkradio.com. Always catch up with us here on Twitter. We'll talk to you next week. See ya.
See ya.
Daddy, where do babies come from?
Honey?
Mommy went to the store.
Oh, well, you see, there's a mommy and a daddy, right?
Right.
And see, when they call Geico, they could save a bunch of money on car insurance.
Oh, really? And that makes them happy?
Yes, that makes them very happy.
That's good.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad we could have this talk, Sunshine.
Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
Staples knows that when your spreadsheets no longer spread, it's time. When your presentations are not presentable, it's time. And when tensions in the office are high.
No, tensions are very, very high.
It's definitely time. And it's times like these when pros turn to Staples. Staples has a full range of tech services to help your business with everything from data recovery to virus protection. And right now, get $50 off PC diagnostic and repair service so your business won't miss a beat. Staples, it's pro time. Ends 5/27. Service does not include parts.